Hello and welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly. This is episode number 118. I am your host, Dr. Vankman, and joining us today we have Mazer.
Yes, I'm here.
What's up?
I'm trying to find a work-life balance, you know? I've got so much on my plate right now.
Yeah, work-life balance can be rough. I wish you luck on that, sir.
I don't think it's going to happen, but you
know. If you come up with anything of doing it, any ways of doing it effectively, let me know. Because I'm about to enter that world for a bit. And joining us as well is Ben P.
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. Yourself?
I am all right. Yeah, Mazer, if you can come up with a work-life balance, then write a book and attach Geek Tyrant's name to the front of it, and you'll make $1 billion, I think.
A billion?
Yeah, because you know what's cool? $1 billion.
You're absolutely right. $1 billion is cool. But you know what's even cooler?
The Geek Tyrant Weekly Podcast?
$1 trillion.
Okay. I didn't know where you're going with that.
Nah, I wasn't going anywhere too crazy.
Okay, all right.
All right, so let's just quickly go through the top five movies of the weekend. We had Super 8 in its first week, came out pulling in $35.4 million. Not bad for a first week for a sci-fi film with no real backing, I guess. Like no built-in audience. No, it wasn't based on a comic book or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's original concept, so... congratulations to Abrams. He made a great film. And we already kind of did, well, kind of, we did a full-on 40-minute review for this movie in a special previous podcast. So if you want to go listen to that, please do. We get into the nitty-gritty details. Number two, X-Men First Class at $24.1 million in its second week in theaters. Number three, The Hangover Part 2 at $17.6 million. Number 4, Kung Fu Panda 2 at $16.5 million. And running out the top 5, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, $10.9 million. So that's the top 5. And real quick, before we kind of get into some other things, if you did listen to our podcast review of Super 8, Ben had mentioned that he thought that Super 8 and Cloverfield were kind of connected in like the same universe. You remember that, Ben?
I'm sure you do. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, you heard what Abrams said about that, right?
My theory has been foiled.
Apparently. Okay. So there you go.
Yes. Yeah, you, Vankman wrote up an article on GeekTyrant.com today about...
I was specifically targeted toward you.
Oh, no. I know. I read it. I read it, and I sensed it. I sensed it being pointed directly at me. No, it was fine. Yeah, the article basically has Abrams saying, like, there's no connection whatsoever intended between these movies. The only connection is that the creature was designed by the same person for both of the films. And then he was like, he made some sort of comment about, some sort of snarky comment about how, like, both creatures have, like, legs, two eyes, and a mouth, but so does Laurence Olivier or something like that. Some sort of ridiculous comment. So maybe they look like Laurence Olivier or something stupid. So I was like, oh, okay, way to be a douche about it. But whatever. Yeah, I stand corrected in my theory. But you know what? I still like to think that... I still like to think about it just because it's kind of fun to think about, regardless of whether he says it's true or not. So.
All right. We can go with that.
I will admit that I was wrong because that's what he said and he's the director. But I will also say there is something to be said for, you know, coming up with your own interpretation of things. So.
True. All right. So are we doing our game Connect 3 today?
Yeah, I put together three little choices. If you
let's
guys
do it.
Run through them real quick.
Yeah. Let's roll with it.
All right, cool. So for those of you who have never listened to the show before, welcome. And I'm going to list three things, and then these guys have to come up with the connection, like how these things are related. And they're all obviously movie related. So here we go. The first one, Alan Tudyk, right? That's how you say his name, right? The guy from Firefly and Serenity, yes?
Yes.
Steve the Pirate?
I believe so.
Okay. Alan Tudyk, Ben Foster, and Russell Crowe. I'll give you a hint. This is one movie.
One movie?
Yes, I know. I know. Give you another hint. This movie came out in the year 2007.
Ben Foster and Russell Crowe were in the same movie together?
Oh, yes, they were, sir.
Damn.
You know it. I know.
Oh, I hate myself if I don't get this
310
one.
310 to Yuma?
Yes, 310
to
Yuma.
Oh, my gosh. This is one of my favorite westerns, too. Son of a bitch.
I know. The Alan Tudyk thing throws you off a little bit. Because he has
that. That was the only thing I was like, wait a second. Yeah.
Yes. Well done. Well done. All right. So the next one, maybe a little bit easier. Here we go. Paul, Galaxy Quest,
Sci-Fi,
and The Village.
Paul, Galaxy Quest, and The Village. Not Tim Allen. The Village. Mm-hmm. Shyamalan's movie, right?
Yep, that's the one. I'll give you a hint. This is...
Jeez, this is terrible.
I'll give you a hint. This is a person.
At this point, people are just, like, turning off the podcast. Like, screw this. Damn.
I'll give you another hint. This is an actress.
Sigourney Weaver?
Yes, Mazer. Sigourney Weaver. Yes. Paul, Galaxy Quest, and The Village. Sigourney Weaver was
in. I forgot that she was in The Village.
Yeah, yep. It didn't even register that she was in The Village.
And then I was like...
Honestly, right now, even though you say she's in The Village, I have no memory of her being in The Village.
She and William Hurt are like part of the elders, you know, the older group of the society or whatever.
I
don't
see it
fair
in
enough.
My head. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. All right.
I'm guessing we haven't revisited the film ever since watching it, right?
Exactly.
That's probably true because you guys are not fans of The Village, right?
Yeah, okay. I'm not.
I'm a fan of the first, like, half.
I like the first half. Fine.
Actually, you know what? I'm a fan of the first two thirds. How about that?
I got
not just the first half.
I unabashedly like the whole thing. I'm sorry. I'm one of those people. But all right, so the third and final one, here we go. This one is going to throw you guys off. I know it is. Friday the 13th, A Nightmare on Elm Street, I Am Number 4.
Are we talking the new Nightmare on this?
Timothy?
We are, yes.
Not Timothy Olyphant, right?
Nope.
Is it an actor?
No.
Scorekeeper.
No. Mazer. To clarify, it is both the remake of A Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th.
Platinum Dunes?
Oh, very, very close, sir.
Platinum Dunes Productions.
No. Who is the master?
Michael Bay.
Yes.
Michael Bay. Okay.
Yes, Michael Bay, the producer of all three of those films.
Why is it that I went for the production studio before I did Michael Bay?
Because that's the natural thing to do, I think.
I don't think we've ever done just a straight studio.
That's why I think I went with that, because it's never been done, and you said you were going to throw us for a loop.
Yeah, there you go.
So you tricked me.
Reverse psychology, yeah.
Great tricker.
Nice. Well, yeah, good stuff, guys.
All right.
Cool.
Good times. Cool. I went to the LA Times Hero Complex Film Festival this weekend. Had a great time. I wasn't able to make it to the Dick Tracy screening, which is fine because I already saw it on the big screen when I was growing up. So, and the reason I didn't go was because I actually watched it on TV like a week before.
Ah.
So I didn't really feel like I wanted to see it again. Anyway. that's kind of pointless. I did, however, see Superman 1 and 2 on the big screen, which I'd never seen on the big screen before. So that was a first time for that, which was very, very cool. And Richard Donner did a great Q&A afterwards and talked about the film. I posted the video of that interview with him, which was very cool. At one point, I'm sitting down in the theater, and Richard Donner and his wife come and sit down right next to me right before Superman 2 is about to start. And I'm thinking, holy shit, I'm going to watch Superman 2 right next to the director, Richard Donner? Who would have ever thought this would have happened? Right? And I'm like, I'm so excited that I'm about to watch the movie with Richard Donner. And then they do this second Q&A with the DC comic guys that are, oh, I can't remember the name. Jeff Johns,
yep.
Was there, and Jim Lee came up and did a Q&A. And right after the Q&A ended, Donner and his wife got up and walked out. I was kind of like, ah, shit. My dream is dead.
Well, let me ask you a question, though. Did they play Superman 2, the theatrical version, or did they play Superman 2, the Richard Donner cut?
Richard Donner cut, yeah.
Nice.
So that was awesome.
Had you seen that version before?
No, that's actually the first time I watched the Donner cut.
So, have you seen Superman 2 recently enough to be able to remember any sort of differences between the two?
Probably not, no.
Okay.
I own both.
Oh, wait. Uh-huh. Actually, yes. There was a scene in there between Lois and Clark where you could totally tell that this was added in later, because in between shots, when they're cutting in between shots, Christopher Reeve's hair is completely different. So it's going to different shots of Christopher Reeve where his hair and glasses are completely different. And in one scene, the glasses were almost like woman's glasses.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was weird. But I knew it was like, okay, this is they added this in later, obviously. But yeah, it was cool.
I think the scene you might be talking about may have actually been in the
actual movie?
It may have been the screen test that they shot those pages of the script that they were later changed.
Yeah, I could see that too. I could definitely see that.
Yeah, because that's what they had to do for the Richard Donner cut of that movie, because he only wanted to use the parts of the film, or a majority of the film, that he actually shot before that movie got taken over by a different director and released as like the theatrical version of Superman 2. So he went back and kind of altered the story and just inserted different takes of stuff that he had shot. And that screen test was one way that he could get kind of the story progressing from point A to point B. Using that footage, even though it wasn't like, you know, as professionally well lit as it was, you know, as the rest of the movie was and stuff, it was good enough to kind of get the point across. So
it's actually debatable if it is, quote, the Richard Donner cut, because Donner was partially responsible for it. It was actually, I forgot the editor's name, but he's the one who actually got all the footage together for the, quote, Donner cut.
Yeah. Do you guys, or Mazur in particular, I think you probably would have a little bit better answer because I just asked Venkman this, but do you have a preference between the theatrical version and the Donner cut?
I think the Donner cut kind of makes less sense than the new version. The theatrical version, but I think that it's mostly due just to what they changed.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with the way Donner approached the first film, I feel like the second film could have been way better, because there were so many little weird, like, you remember that weird shield thing where he just rips off his shield and he wraps the guy, and it's like it did nothing. I think they make fun of it on the Family Guy, like, that was mildly inconvenient. It didn't do anything, and like, how is that a superpower? Yeah. So. I think Donner's cry of, was it verisimilitude?
Yes, yep.
Of it being true to itself and to the world, and there was so much in two that just was not. He's suddenly in multiple places at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when does Superman ever have that power? It just got ridiculous.
Yeah, I actually just got this huge Blu-ray Superman motion picture anthology packet from Warner Brothers that I'm going to write a big write-up for on Geek Tyrant. But I've been going through all those old Superman movies and watching them, and they look fantastic on Blu-ray, by the way, all of them. I just watched the Superman 2, the theatrical one, and the Richard Donner cut back-to-back just to see what the differences were. Personally, I think I like the Donner cut a little bit more because, like you were saying, there's so much in the theatrical version of Superman 2 that just doesn't really mesh up with Donner's vision. And I think there's so much like behind the scenes stuff going on there. If you guys are fans of Superman and you've never really like looked into that, go to Wikipedia or wait a couple weeks, and my article is going to be up, and I'll try to talk a little bit about it if you want to check it out on the site. But there's like a ton of history. Or also just go out and buy this Blu-ray thing because it just hit stores recently, and it's freaking awesome. There's 20 hours of bonus features of all the Superman movies, and it collects everyone from Superman the movie all the way up to Superman Returns, and it's got crazy amounts of documentaries and all kinds of cool stuff. So that's pretty cool, the Bankman, that you got to see it, you know, in the same room with like on the big screen and stuff with Donner and everybody there.
Yeah, that was definitely cool. It was awesome. I also saw Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan on the big screen for the first time, which was very cool as well. Alice Kurtzman, Bob Orsi, and Damon Lindelof showed up to do a Q&A after.
Cool.
Which was cool, and it was really awesome seeing that up on the big screen. And they had the director of the film show up too to talk about it.
Is it Nicholas Meyer? Is that right?
Yeah. And he kind of went through and talked about how he built the film around, like, because he always wanted to make a submarine movie,
mm-hmm.
and so he just built the movie as if the Enterprise and the starships and stuff were submarines. And so that's like was his mindset when he was making this movie.
Interesting.
And it really shows in the film. So it's pretty cool. It was awesome. That was very cool. Then they showed Star Trek 2009 on the big screen.
Yep.
Which I enjoyed once again. I really love that movie.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I revisit it often, so let's see, what else did they show while I was up there? They showed Iron Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
Jon Favreau did a Q&A, talked about the making of Part 1 and 2. While I was doing it, Robert Downey Jr. shows up, the crowd goes crazy. And it was fun watching those guys just kind of play off each other.
Can you have video of that up on the site?
There's video of that up on the site and on our YouTube page, so you might want to check that out. It's definitely worth it, watching all the way through. They talk about Iron Man 3. Robert Downey Jr. talks about the Avengers and just, you know, spews excitement, saying Joss Whedon is nailing it. And fans are just going to be extremely happy with what he's doing. And yeah, I mean, it was fun. It was really fun seeing and being able to be a part of that. If you haven't gone, I definitely recommend checking it out. I think this is the second one that the Hero Complex has done. They'll most likely be doing it from here on out. So
yeah,
they put together a really great program. It was fun.
Yeah, there's something that I wanted to bring up, and this is totally different from the Hero Complex, from the Hero Complex Film Festival, but it is kind of another cool event that's coming up. If you guys are in Los Angeles listening to this, on Tuesday the 21st of June 2011, which is this coming Tuesday, The Rocketeer is having its 20th anniversary at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood, and they are.
So this is my chance.
Yes, they're playing it on the big screen in like a brand new restored print. a digital projection or stored whatever. And freaking Joe Johnston, the director and the director of the upcoming Captain America movie, is going to be there. Bill Campbell, who played the Rocketeer, is going to be there. Rick Baker, the really famous makeup designer, is going to be there. Danny Bilson and Paul DeMeo, the screenwriters in the movie, are going to be there. And Kevin Smith is doing like a panel, is like hosting a panel, like a Q&A and stuff with these guys.
When is that? And are tickets still available?
Tickets are still available. It is Tuesday the 21st at, I think, check-in starts at 6:45. I want to say the movie starts at like 7:30. Not only that, they're also going to have a big museum, a big presentation at the Hollywood Museum, which is right near the El Capitan. And there's going to have they're going to have a bunch of props and costumes and stuff from the movie, and all this stuff is coming straight out of Walt Disney's archives. It's going to be insane. There's going to be a bunch of stuff on sale in there, the Bulldog Cafe coffee mugs, t-shirts, black lights, like 20th anniversary posters, all kinds of different stuff. The only catch is that it's $50.
What?
I know. But for diehard Rocketeer fans, it's really not only paying for the movie ticket, it's paying for all that other stuff, which really, really awesome.
I'm going to tell you, I haven't watched The Rocketeer in years.
Dude,
it's been years.
It hasn't aged at all, and the effects still hold up.
The reason why I haven't watched it in so long is because I've been waiting for the damn movie to come out on Blu-ray. I could watch it if I want to, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm holding out for watching a good print. So this might be worth it, and
yeah,
it might be worth taking my kids to.
Yeah, I'm definitely going. Mazer, I know you're a big fan of the movie. I don't know. I think everybody should. I mean, if you're a diehard Rocketeer fan, you've already made up your mind as soon as you heard me talking about all this stuff. So I'm just telling people out there right now, I'm going, and it's going to be awesome, I think. So that's this coming Tuesday, the 21st. So if you guys are Rocketeer fans and you're in Los Angeles or within driving distance, I would highly recommend checking it out.
Awesome. Very cool. Let's see, what else is happening? I went to E3 last week, spent Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at the LA Convention Center playing video games all day, except for one day. One day I spent 4 hours in line for a game and then, just went home after.
Yeah.
Because I've never spent 4 hours in line for anything like this before.
Mm.
But what happened, and I should probably explain why I spent so much time in the line. Right when the doors opened, I my mind was set. I'm like, okay, Battlefield 3, I have to play this game. I have to. It's on my top of the list. I got to get my hands on it and write something up for it. So I'm like there early, doors open, I walk in, there's already a line in there. It's like they were letting people in, holding other people back while others were going in and lining up. So I get in there, there's already a long ass line, and it's literally right around the corner from where I was. So it really didn't look like it was going to take that long. And a guy comes around, he's like, okay guys, just from here, you're probably looking at hour and a half. I'm like, okay, I could take that. 2 hours later, I moved like 10 feet, right? Okay. And at that point, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to leave. And right when I said that, right when I was thinking I'm out of here, the line started moving, and it moved me around the corner to where I could see the door that I would enter into. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm waiting there. Like, that's how long? Oh, about 45 minutes. And I'm waiting here. I'm like looking at the door, and it takes me 2 hours from that point to actually get in. Because what was happening is they were letting, and I'm putting quotes, doing quotes with my fingers, the VIP people,
Mm-hmm.
So they would put in 15 VIP people and press, and then they would let in 3 or 4 of the fans.
Mm-hmm.
was like, good Lord. So, you know, and I'm, you know, tried to throw out the press thing, but they're not having it. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, my media, like, they still wouldn't let me. Anyway, I wait that long in line, and I get in. I'm not a PC gamer, okay? I do not play PC games. I am a console gamer. I use a controller. So when I walk into this room and see that they're playing on a PC, I'm like, oh shit. You gotta be kidding me. I'm going in here, I'm gonna play this game on a PC computer. I have no idea what the controls are. W for walk? Okay. Using the mouse, I'm like trying to like figure this out. So like the first, you know, 5 minutes, I'm stumbling around, getting my ass killed, but I finally like found the controls that I needed, and then I was good for about 20 minutes of gameplay time.
Okay. Well.
But it was still like I said, I never play PC, and after that experience, I don't think I ever will, because I just don't see how PC players can play like that. It just seems not natural. I don't know. But yeah. Anyway, game was great. It looked amazing. The gameplay was fun. Would have been a lot more fun had I was able to use a controller. I probably would have killed more people, but it was good. Besides that, another big game there, Dead Island, was among one of my favorites. It's that zombie game. We showed you we posted a trailer for that on the site a while back that just blew up all over the place. That game is actually really good. Probably one of the best zombie games that's been made. So it's something definitely worth checking out if you're into that kind of thing. Some of my other favorites. I didn't get a chance to play it. They did like a live demo of it. But the new Aliens Colonial Marines game that's coming out that Sega's doing was pretty badass.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even see any stuff for that.
Yeah, it's a direct sequel to James Cameron's Aliens. So after Ripley and Bishop and Newt leave, the Colonial Marines were called in, and in Aliens, they talked about, well, how long do we have to wait for a rescue team to get here, to get us off of here? And pretty much since they got off before the rescue team arrived after they nuked the place, after they blew it up. I think it was the LV-6. So they came into the wreckage, and so now you're playing Colonial Marines going around investigating what happened and killing aliens and stuff, which is nice. Which was pretty cool. And Uncharted 3.
Did you get a chance to play it?
I did, yeah, and it's just as good. It's just as good as Uncharted 2. I'm really looking forward to the story and everything like that.
I'm really jealous of you right now.
Were you able to play it in 3D?
No, I wasn't. What sucks is they do it weird, where it's like when you go up to play, it's like one has a 3D screen, one doesn't. One has one, one doesn't. So it's lined up, even odds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they sat me down in one that wasn't in 3D. So I was kind of like, well, I kind of wanted to play it in 3D, but I didn't get a chance to. So, but it was good. I mean, it was fun. I played both a little part in the story mode, and then I also played the multiplayer part of it, which was really fun as well.
Cool.
Any other games you guys? Oh, Batman Arkham City.
Did you get a chance to play that one?
Yeah, I played that one. Loved it. It's awesome, and Catwoman is going to steal the game. She's a very cool character in it. I think everyone's just going to be all about Catwoman. And it was also recently announced that Robin will also be a playable character on a couple downloadable content.
Okay.
Stuff, so that's cool too, to see what the Robin, there's no pictures have been revealed, but it'll be interesting to see what they have planned for Robin and Batman Arkham City. But yeah, it's awesome. They definitely took it a step up from the first game, so it's going to be awesome.
Nice.
I think you said you missed Mass Effect 3.
I couldn't find anything for Mass Effect 3 there. I looked, and I don't know if I was looking in the right place, but...
Yeah, I saw some other people talking about it there, but I guess you had missed it.
Yeah, I couldn't find it. I was looking around for it, but I didn't know where it was at, so...
Assassin's Creed?
Yep, saw Assassin's Creed. I got to do a little gameplay on Assassin's Creed, which was cool. It's pretty... It's Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
I really didn't get into it enough to like get into the story and stuff like the other games, because it's just, you know, here's a little 10-minute playtime action for you. But everything felt familiar, looked good, everything. So, and then what else was there?
I don't know. You were the only one there.
I was the only one there.
I know they released a teaser trailer for Halo 4. Was there anything playable on the floor? Or?
Nothing. There's nothing on the floor for Halo. So,
were you able to
for the Halo
play with the Nintendo Wii? I mean,
I wasn't about to wait 4 hours in line to play it, but they... I got to hold the controller. I didn't like it. It's big and bulky. I understand there's a touch screen on it and there's stuff you can do with it, but it...
Yeah, it's weird that it's single touch. It's not multi-touch.
Yeah.
I didn't
like the feel of it. I wasn't comfortable. I was like, I'm kind of out. When I first saw it, I was kind of like, oh, that's it? And then it was later revealed that they won't even be able to play DVDs or Blu-rays on it. And it's just like, Nintendo, you guys still don't know. they're trying to be innovative, but at the same time, for a gamer like me, it's not worth it. I don't know. I'm not going to go out and buy that. It just, there's nothing... that it does that is like, I need to have that because it does this because it's cool. I can see what they want to do with it. I can kind of see the direction they want to take it and the possibilities of it, but I'm not buying into the gimmick, because that's what it is. It's just another gimmick.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like innovation. Were you able to get your hands on the PlayStation, was it Vita?
No, that was another long ass line I wasn't willing to wait in. But so, dude, there's so many. The lines are insane. It's just like, wait, this is just for like people, you know, professionals and press and stuff, right? Because there's an awful lot of people here that don't look like they should be here.
Yeah.
You're like, you're not old enough to drive.
You work at GameStop, don't you? That's how you got in.
Yep.
But no, it was cool. I met a lot of cool people, and it was fun.
Good times.
Next year, we're getting a team there, though, guys. I'm telling you, we're getting a team.
I'm down next year.
Sounds
like
it's going to take a team to cover it, just
it
with
is.
How you have to wait in line.
Yeah. So.
We'll bring lawn chairs next year.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so that's kind of what I went through this week. Had a lot of stuff going on. It's been busy. And this next week is the LA Film Festival. So I've picked out about five or six films I think I'm going to check out during that. So we'll see.
Cool.
But other than that, let's go into some geek news, shall we?
Oh, yeah.
What do we got going on today? I think one of the biggest pieces of news recently is probably James Mangold being brought in to direct The Wolverine,
yes.
replacing Darren Aronofsky.
Yep, and Mangold, of course, the director of 310 to Yuma, which we mentioned earlier.
310 to Yuma, Identity.
Night and Day.
Night and Day.
Walk the Line.
Walk the Line, Girl Interrupted. Solid director. The guy has made some great films. I have no problems with his, you know, with him directing the film. I think he'll end up doing a great job. I hope. That's what my hope is. He's made some good films, though, so I don't see why
I feel,
he would make a bad movie now.
Yeah, I feel like we went from like an A director to a B director. Mm-hmm. Like, he's still good.
Yeah.
His films are great. It's just like, it's not, like, you're never going to, I didn't recognize his name, but seeing the films he's done, I'm like, oh, wow, he's actually done some great stuff.
Yeah, he's just not that brand name. He's just that guy that makes good movies.
Yeah, it's a little bit more of a safer choice because, like, man, God knows what Darren Aronofsky's Wolverine would have looked like. You know, there's so much creativity in that guy that would have just been insane, I think. But Mangold, I think just from his name alone and his filmography, we know that this movie is going to be solid. You know, it's just going to be a good movie, and there's the possibility that it could be really good. But, you know, I'm... The whole thing I'm taking away from this is it could have been much worse. They could have gotten something far, far worse.
They could have hired Brett Ratner for all we know. So be thankful that didn't happen.
Yep, there's our requisite Ratner bashing.
Or McG.
Yes.
Oh. And there's our McG bash.
Wow, man. That would have been... Oof.
Although, would you be excited to see a Michael Bay version?
I would.
A Michael Bay version of the Wolverine? Intriguing.
I'm intrigued
to think about what the possibilities are for that.
Because
he's all about explosions, but Wolverine is not. So it would have to be the most like crazy amount of destruction and blood. You know.
Yeah, but you know for a fact that Wolverine would, in slow motion, exit the car, and there would be a slow spinning shot from the ground looking up
as the blades come out of his hands,
dripping blood,
dripping blood.
Explosion, of course, in the background.
Yep.
Got it. Wolverine fighting.
But you see the explosion in the reflection of the blades at first, until it swoops around and you see the full-on explosion behind him.
And then it spins all the way around and you see it in the reflection of Wolverine's aviators. Oh, man. That would be a lot of fun to watch, I'm not going to lie.
I want to see that movie. Very good. Let's see. Spielberg is now talking about, well, brainstorming. He's met with the screenwriter. What's the name of the screenwriter? Mark
Protosevich, maybe?
Protosevich. Let's do it. And they are discussing ideas to reboot the Jurassic Park franchise with the fourth film. So it might – looks like it could happen.
Yeah, I mean, the screenwriter was the guy who wrote I Am Legend. He'd been working on, like, an I Am Legend prequel, if I'm not mistaken, and that kind of fell through. And the whole thing with Jurassic Park is, like, that movie, they've been talking about Jurassic Park 4 ever since the third one came out, but it's just never really gotten traction.
I just love all the crazy ideas that have been thrown out there.
Yeah, wasn't there something about, like, raptors with, like, with some sort of sentient, like the sort
raptors
of helmets?
Cell phones.
Helmets where they can speak, right? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
Something
they are just extremely smart now.
All those ideas are nuts. So, yeah, I mean, at least it sounds like... Spielberg is kind of trying to take it seriously and just like sit down and have some conversations with this guy and be like, all right, listen, let's see if we can do this legitimately instead of taking it, you know, all the way to the ridiculous end of the spectrum.
I'm actually surprised Spielberg is getting back into it, but he is working on a TV show called Terra Nova that involves dinosaurs, so maybe that's kind of what sparked the Jurassic Park.
And it could also be that the series has made, let's see, in order, $915 million, $619 million, and $369 million worldwide.
So. That couldn't be it. I don't think money means is an issue with any of these people.
I don't know.
He's involved in Tintin, so I mean that as popular as that is, it's probably still needs to be sold to most people out there.
Yeah, that's true.
See, Expendables 2 found a director.
Yes.
So it's not it's. Yeah, I know you're really looking forward to it, but Sly Stallone's not doing it. He's not doing it. He brought in Simon West.
Yeah, and I actually had a chance to interview Simon West for what is the name of the freaking movie? I'm blanking on it right now. It's the one with Jason Statham and The Mechanic. Sorry.
The Mechanic, yeah.
And Ben Foster, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, there was no way that he knew what was going on at that point when I was talking to him, but... yeah, I mean, I don't know about this. What do you guys think about Simon West directing Expendables 2? What do you think?
I can't get any worse from what Stallone did, so...
That was... You and I finally agree on something.
I thought The Mechanic was decent. Wasn't, you know...
Yeah, people. Amazing. People in the Twitter sphere are not pleased with this news, but what I say is... I wasn't that big of a fan of The Expendables, and that had Stallone himself directing it. So, like, to me, that was as great as that franchise was going to be, and it's just downhill from there anyway. So it doesn't really matter at this point, I think.
Yeah, and
yeah,
Stallone,
it really does.
Stallone is still producing, right? So
yeah,
I think
still
so.
Producing, he's still starring, he'll still have a hand in how the film is made. So it's... If you're a fan of Stallone's directing style, sorry.
Well, I think essentially it's just an extra set of eyes on the set now.
Someone's
only worrying about, you know, at some point you're wearing way too many hats and just the quality of the film's going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we know that it'll look a little bit slicker than The Expendables if Simon West's previous films are any indication. So, there's that.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Like I said before, I enjoyed The Expendables for what it was. I liked the stupid action and explosions. That's what I was expecting. So, I didn't hate it. I enjoyed it. But bringing Simon West in to direct it, honestly, it possibly could be a step up. So, there's no point. I mean, they could have brought in someone worse.
Yeah.
Just like we were talking about Wolverine. They could have brought in Brett Ratner or McGee. So,
yep.
Be thankful Simon West got it, people. And we could say the same thing. Well, what if... Michael Bay directed Expendables 2.
See, that I feel like would be a little bit of a better
fit. I tell you, it'd probably be badass.
That would be pretty crazy.
Except I don't think Michael Bay would allow himself to work with such an old cast of old men. He would have to get a new, slick, you know, hot, young Hollywood crew in there, I think.
This should just be our, like, this should be kind of like the standard we hold these types of things to. It's like, well, at least Brett Ratner and McGee aren't directing it, but what if Michael Bay did for every film?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think Michael Bay would probably be better off doing an Expendables prequel, where, you know, Shia LaBeouf plays Statham's early character or something ludicrous like that, you know, like getting like the whole young blood thing going and still being able to get away with the explosions and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Or do it where it's like two generations of Expendables.
Yeah, like kind of like the Ghostbusters 3 rumor thing that's supposed to be happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two generations of Expendables. This summer, there's even more people that are expendable.
Yes. And Risk. The board game, Risk?
Yep.
Guys, have you played it?
Yep.
Yes, I
do
own
you,
it.
Do you
I own
like
an awesome
playing?
Version.
You do. You own a great version. I still haven't played with you on that on your board yet.
Mazer, didn't I come to your house and play
yeah.
with you?
Yeah.
Well,
Ben,
my wife
Ben.
Thought... Yeah.
Yeah. You did, Ben. I wasn't able to make it that night, but I like Risk. Anyway, they're making it into a movie, so...
Surprise, surprise, right?
Yep.
If they can make Candyland into a movie,
yeah,
goodness sake, make Risk into a movie.
The latest in a long line of board game films.
It's crazy.
Oh, and Monopoly, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
And freaking Magic 8 Ball, which isn't even a board game.
Oh, Ouija.
Viewmaster, yep.
The Viewmaster movie.
Yeah, no, that's insane. I mean, this one and Battleship, of course, which is coming out next year.
Battleship, that's going to be interesting.
That's a big one. This, I mean,
they've completely marketed that movie based on the game, yet the movie has nothing to do with the game at all.
Right.
They took the name and logo of the game and turned it into a sci-fi alien invasion film.
Well, that's probably the same thing that's going to happen with Risk, because I think inherently Battleship and Risk are probably the only two board games.
You mean like, they won't take Risk and make it a period piece?
I don't think so.
Period war film? See, that's a shame. But you're probably right. I guess it depends on which version of Risk they're going to use.
That's true. Although a period piece could be... You know, they could very easily do something like Cowboys and Aliens, where it's like a mashup of genres taking over the world or something, right?
Yeah. True, true.
Yeah. I don't know.
Right. We'll look out for that one. Stay tuned. The more information that comes out on it, we'll let you know. And Ben Affleck got himself a new directing gig. A film called Tell No One, which I believe is a remake of a French film.
Yes. Have you guys seen the French original?
I have not.
I watched it, and it's actually pretty freaking good. There's a chase scene, like a foot chase sequence in the middle that's like, I don't know, a solid 5 or 7 minutes or something. That's some of the best like chase work I've seen in a long, long time. I don't remember what year the French film came out, but it's fairly recently. I want to say like within the past 10 years or something. So the story is kind of interesting. It's like a guy who's a pediatrician is out with his wife, and she they're out like, you know, whatever, hanging out at a lake or something. She vanishes and he gets beaten up and blamed for her murder. And then like years later, basically he discovers that the wife is still alive and she's like trying to contact him and stuff. It's like this really interesting thriller. So, if you're looking for something like that, check it out on Netflix, the original.
It's on instant Netflix?
I don't know if it's instant, because I watched it like about a year ago, I think.
Okay.
So it might not be on instant anymore. I think it was at one time. I'm not really sure about that. But, I mean, I just went back and watched that chase sequence on YouTube again. And watching that, I can very easily see Affleck's directing style, you know, fitting into that world pretty well. Because he's got a little bit of that kind of gritty, you know, a little, you know, some of that handheld stuff going on. And Affleck, you know, he's a pretty competent director, especially of kind of action stuff and thrillers. So we've seen that with The Town and Gone Baby Gone. So I think this will be pretty good, especially for American audiences who probably never even heard of the original French film. I heard of it. I don't know how I came across it, but probably because I heard the chase sequence was really good and I'm kind of a sucker for those. So, yeah, I'd recommend checking it out. It's actually based on a book, too. A guy named Harlan Coben wrote the book, and it's like a big, you know, it was a bestseller and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Cool. And I think that's it. I think that's all the stuff worth talking about. We've got Green Lantern coming out in theaters this weekend, which has been getting awful reviews, majority of which have been awful. I've seen a couple good ones.
But who, wrote good ones, you know?
Hugo did.
Okay.
Even then, it wasn't like, oh, this film is awesome. It was like a neutral good. It was like a neutral review. Okay. It didn't like bash it, but it didn't praise it either.
Okay.
So it was just kind of a stalemate with them. But yeah. I don't know. I've been looking forward to it. I'm still looking forward to it. I'm still excited to see it. Regardless if it's bad or not, it's Green Lantern, and I like what I've been seeing in the trailers. So even if it sucks, I'm gonna go see it.
I'm gonna tell you,
and then afterwards, if it's bad, then I'll complain about it.
Yeah, no, because that's what we do, of course.
Because that's what we do.
I'm gonna tell you, if you're a fan of Ryan Reynolds, I think you'll like this movie.
Well, see, just saying that is like, don't that if you're it's Ryan Reynolds playing Ryan Reynolds in a Green Lantern outfit, right?
It essentially is, but
that's that, okay. So I kind of saw that coming, and it's just like. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I was expecting a disaster, to be honest, and I'll talk about it a lot more next week with you guys. But it was not a disaster. It was a kind of a solid, like, just summer entertainment piece of you know, just blockbuster filmmaking. And
good, Martin, that's what I'm looking for in this.
Yeah, it was fun. If you're a fan of, you know, if you like me are kind of hook, line, and sinker into Ryan Reynolds and his shtick, you know, that whole thing, that cocky whatever thing that he does. It's just that in a superhero movie, and it's kind of cool to see the differences between Green Lantern and some of these other characters. Plus, the whole space opera thing actually ended up working pretty well. And this is one of the few movies that I can say this. I would recommend seeing it in 3D, even though it's post converted. So,
all right.
Yeah, multiple people have been saying that it's actually a well done one because the suit is CG. A lot of the environment is you know, CG as well. So there wasn't really much to convert.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this: is this more of a CGI animated film, or is it more of a live action film?
I would say it's more. Oh man, I don't know. I mean, it's more live action.
Okay.
But probably just barely. If you were to really do like a you know, put it into two columns right next to each other or something and divide the movie by screen time or something like that. But it feels like a little bit more live action, so that's what I'll go with.
All right. Sounds good. Other than that, let's just kind of close things up. You want to plug your...
Oh, sure. Yeah, you guys can...
podcast?
Yeah, listen to the Not Just New Movies podcast, the podcast I host in which we talk about... not just new movies. This coming weekend, we're going to be talking about Pulp Fiction, which just went on Netflix Instant. So keep your ears open for that. Yeah, you can find all the back episodes at notjustnewmovies.com, or you can listen to the most recent ones at geektyrant.com. Just go and type in Not Just New Movies podcast, and I'm sure you'll find it.
Sounds good. Other than that, you can... follow or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geektyrantfans. Please follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/geektyrant, where you can kind of see all the news that goes out, and subscribe to our YouTube page where we are posting more stuff. Also, geektyrant.me, our store. You can buy a t-shirt, glasses, 3D glasses. So hit that up. We've got free shipping right now, so take advantage of that while you can, while we have inventory. Other than that, thank you for listening to the podcast. Thanks for visiting the site. We appreciate it, and have a good one. Take care, everybody.